Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, as you're well aware, this is First Responders Sunday. And we have a group of first responders right here. And that's more than just people when you preach, they say amen. Okay? When 911 is dialed, they're the first to respond, to put themselves at risk and go into danger, to see people when they're in crisis, when they're very often in their worst shape of their lives, when disaster has sprung across their life, when they're the most emotional and the most deeply affected and the most desperate for help. There's some people all wearing dark blue in this room today that are here. We have with us the Lake Worth Fire Department and the Lake Worth Police Department. Would you guys all stand? And if you'll come up front, don't worry, I won't interview you. I won't put a mic in your face and embarrass you or do anything like that. I might just embarrass you by virtue of standing beside me. But other than that, if I could have the police department on this side and if the firemen would come over here, I'm going to ask Pastor Brian to stand. Pastor Brian has really helped us to put this together. He has a heart for this because he serves the town, the city of Southlake. I said town, sorry. Extend forgiveness to me. Okay. The city of Southlake in the fire department there. And so he has been on the receiving end of this, and he's aware of ways that we can be effective in ministry to law enforcement people. So I'm going to ask you, Brian, if you'd help me and go to your brethren on this other side with this plaque. I want to look at this. Make sure it says, yes, presented to Lake Worth Fire Department. Vision Church presents this plaque in recognition of your service and devotion to the citizens of Lake Worth. We are praying for you. So all of you are the seated right back here. Look very good, very well at these faces. Some of these are the age of your grandsons or sons. And let one of them just be laid on your heart. And here's what my commitment is to you guys. I was thinking about this morning. What can I do? And I am close enough to hear every time you roll out. I can hear the clamor and everything that's going on. I wonder what's going on. I can tell when you're rolling out. And I'm going to promise this. Every time I'm here and I hear that, I'm going to be praying for you. Because you never know when you're rolling out if it's going to be a cat up a tree or a catastrophe. How do you like that play on words, huh? Okay. You heard that here today. And I want to read this, number 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. So that's a blessing we speak over you today. And I'm going to have Brother Brian come and hand that to you, to whoever's in charge today. I'm going to ask that they remain standing because in just a moment we're going to offer prayer over both of these departments. Now, right over here, we have Officer, is that appropriate, Officer Gregory? Sergeant Gregory. No. He is a great brother in the Lord. And just a couple weeks ago when I was hit from behind thinking I was going to go to Florida and sell Mom's car, he was right there immediately after the call and helped through that process. And it's great to have a brother in the Lord and someone who's serving the community as a police officer right there. That's a great blessing. I do want to also formally introduce to you the new Justice of the Peace for Precinct 4, which many of us or all of us may be in. Precinct 4, this is the new Justice of the Peace officially taking office January 1, 2019. So praying and voting, you can get some people in there that serve our best interests and serve with the interests of the kingdom of heaven at hand. And so there's two plaques I'd like to give to you. And it says, Vision Church presents this plaque in recognition of your service and devotion to the citizens of Lake Worth. We are praying for you and that same blessing pronounced upon the police as well as we wanted to be sure of the dispatch. were included in that. So we have both the dispatch and the police, and I want to present those to you this morning. Would you give them a hand? Yes. Our 9/11 dispatch and, yes, and Lake Worth Police Department. Officer West, Officer Watson. We're so thankful for you. And here's our invitation. I already told them this. You can park on our parking lot anytime. I've always got coffee I can put on for you. You're always welcome if you need anything. And thirdly, whenever I see you posted up, I'm going to pray for you. And sometimes just be ready. I'll approach cautiously with my hands in the air so you know I'm not, and say, and find out who's there. And I may just ask you, hey, is there anything I can pray for you today? What's going on? And just want to let you know we have your back. We believe in you and we're thankful for you. We know you have a tough job. You very often see people in the worst of circumstances and behaving the worst they can possibly behave in their life. And we're sorry that you see me like that sometimes. But but we're thankful for our law enforcement people, aren't we? Yes. Give them a hand. And what I want us to hear as a congregation before we pray a prayer of blessing over them and let them go, some of them will need to go on duty and some will return back. And if there's a commotion and they have to leave during service, you know somebody needs help and they're first to respond and they're going to be duty-bound to do that, and it's their pleasure to do that. But they are serving on those mountains of culture. Law enforcement is serving on that government law enforcement mountain, and they're serving there. And that's a tough place to serve and a place to interface with the public. You need grace when you're there. And same thing in the fire department. They're responding to people in medical distress and people who are in the toughest spot in their life very often. And they need the grace of God to flow through them. Insight to do things they never thought of doing before. Techniques, procedures, cautions, those kind of things that can happen in that split second of time. And don't we serve a good, good Father who would put his hand upon those that would be first responders and touch their lives? And so we just are appreciating you this morning. We genuinely thank God for you. We're praying for you. And now we want to pray a collective prayer of blessing over both of these departments. And would you just stretch a hand forward and let's pray that prayer of blessing right now. Lord, we thank you for these in uniform. In their heart and on these uniforms somewhere are some words that talk about their dedication to serve. They're willing to serve the public. They're willing to go and deal with things that are difficult and stressful and hard. They're willing to hazard themselves. They'll go into a burning building. They'll put themselves at risk at an accident scene in order to make sure that things come out the very best they possibly can. Lord, their lives are threatened at times. There are people who resent them deeply, fire and police. So, Lord, we're just praying right now, your divine hand a blessing upon them, an uncommon, uncommon manifestation of your grace upon the Lake Worth Police and Fire Department. We're looking for the uncommon to be done, the miraculous to happen, of provision, of preparation, of insight, of direction, so that they might know, even on the job, that you are interested in them, you have a plan for their life, you care for them, you're a good, good Father, you love them, and you are willing to guide and direct them in every place in their life, every direction and every decision. We thank you for these men that are all serving and those ladies that work and others that work dispatch, male or female. Lord, we thank you for their devotion and being on the spot and being willing to respond. We ask your grace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give them another big hand as they come back. Lord, bless you guys. Bless you. If you see me here, knock. Anything I can do for you, we'd love to do it. Amen. Well, let me count back the years. The year was 1989. Well, that's a long time ago, coming up on 30 years. I went to serve Rockwood Assembly of God Church, and Tosh and I met an incredibly young couple by the name. They're incredibly young looking now. But Mark and Lacey Thorne, we were raising small children at the time. And Mark was an officer with the Fort Worth Police Department. His brother James Thorne, some of you know, James and Sharon were our children's ministers, and now they're pastoring Red Church over in the Watauga area. And I've just watched and had an opportunity for breakfast and other opportunities to see the vim, vigor, and vitality that emanates from Mark's life and the witnessing that he does as a police officer, being a liaison and opening doors for clergy and officers to be involved together and being supportive of one another. Very innovative and creative things. And so what I want to do is we've opened up the pulpit this morning for Brother Mark. He's a preacher. He's a sharer and expositor of the Word of God. He's prophetic in the edge of his ministry, but he has a heart for souls, very evangelistic. The son of a pastor, the brother of a pastor, but a minister in his own right. We want to recognize that this morning, and so thankful, even though he's retired, he's still having influence and impact upon law enforcement. That's his mission field, and he loves them, and he loves that calling. So would you welcome Brother Mark Thorne this morning as he comes to share.
Love you, Pastor Doug. God bless you, Vision Church. How y'all doing today? Good, good. My name is Mark Thorne, and I retired from the Fort Worth Police Department. I started the Police Academy in 1984, and it was a great ride for 31 years. I was able to retire without being stabbed, run over, shot, or fired. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. But anyway, let me come up here and put my stuff up. Hey, listen, by the way, let me just tell you real quick. Pastor Doug sort of hinted about it, but, you know, I've always tried to let Jesus shine from my heart, you know? I've always tried to do that. And anyway, long story short, my captain calls me in the office. He goes, Thorne, he goes, these officers, they need the Lord. And I said, well, I know that. And he says, look at these. I'm firing this officer. This officer's getting 30 without. And this officer here is going to get 5 days off without pay just because of all the things that they did that were wrong, that are messed up. He goes, I need help. He goes, what are we going to do? He goes, I said, sir, I don't know. He goes, well, I'll tell you. He goes, I want you to round up a couple of pastors and get them just to hang out at the police department. And I said, well, okay, I'll do that. And so I started going out, and I started bumping into pastors. I'd be at Sam's Club, Payne, and I realized the guy in front of me, I knew he was a pastor. I said, sir, are you a pastor? He goes, yeah. I said, you know, we need your help. Long story short, the clergy program, the CAPA, Clergy and Police Alliance, with the police department, became so big that we ended up having pastors, and we had 100-something pastors at one time. They were sending me to different cities to encourage this union between clergy and police. And anyway, it was an amazing thing, and I ended up just serving as this position. They moved me to this position full time, and I did that through the Katrina Rita. You remember the Katrina when the hurricane, all that stuff that happened. And so anyway, that was just an awesome deal. And I thought, you know, this is a pretty cush position. I like it. I think I get to go out and pray and meet with these pastors all the time. I'm going to stay here I'm just going to retire here. And it wasn't a week after I said that I came in the office and something was wrong. I knew that God was moving me on to someplace else. And so anyway, long story short, after that happened, I said, Lord, where do you want me to go? What's going on here? Well, anyway, I ended up, the Lord moved me over to the motorcycle squad. And I was able to ride motors for 6 years and did some great and fun things there. And then during that time, the Lord says, you know what? I need some Bible studies in the police department for police officers because they're always ministering to everybody else. He goes, these people are helping people all the time. But what about them? He goes, start a Bible study. Long story short, we did it. We ended up having a Bible study for cops. Next thing you know, it's growing. Officers, we're baptizing officers on the steps of the police department. I kid you not. Okay, look, you know, the thing of separation on church and state, that's a lie. Okay, it's not real. Okay, it's fake news. Here we go, it's fake news. So anyway, so we bring this big trough out. We said, we've got all these officers that just got saved. They love the Lord. They want to get baptized in front of their peers because they don't want to live one life in front of their peeps and live another life in front of their family and then live another life in front of their church peeps. We got to be who we are, what we are, all the time. That's the way God made us. So they're getting baptized in front of their church peeps. We got this horse trough. We ain't got no water in it. So I see a fire truck go by, and I go, hey, I go, guys, keep a little water in my horse trough here. And they go, absolutely. It was the warmest water they've ever baptized in. That it was totally awesome. We even baptized people at the police department. We had a room, a computer room, that they put us in one time. We have our church meetings every week for police officers at a police station somewhere near you. That's what we do. We even had, yeah, and they even told us, they go, hey, look. They go, I said, you know, the Lord told me when I was in municipal court that we're supposed to start a Bible study here. So they said, well, you need to talk to this person, you need to talk to this person. Next thing you know, I was at legal. Okay, I'm at legal. Okay, they go, you know, you can't have a Bible study here. You know, I got to send this off to legal and I got to figure all this out. And I go, no, you don't have to do that. I'm going to have a Bible study. So I went and found someone to give me a room. And that, next thing you know, all the municipal court, all the bailiffs, they're all coming in. We're having a Bible study right there. Right there. And how long did that last? That lasted quite a while, several years. Several years. So anyway, so I mean, I submit to my bosses. I submit to authority. But the thing is when you give it to God, He will bring them into compliance. He will bring them into compliance. Don't go out there on your own. Go with God. I'm going to make sure that right. Anyway, I wrote, in 2008, I wrote the book, A Cop and His God, Volume 1. To document the miraculous things that God did in my life. And then just recently, we just released A Cop and His God, Volume 2. So there's 52 stories here. If Mark Thorne can do something for God, anybody can. I'm just here to tell you that right now. I mean, all the mistakes I've made, all the things I've done wrong, somehow God has made it right. And so if you're wearing a uniform, are there any of the first responders here not in uniform? Because if you're wearing a uniform, we're going to give you a free copy of this book, Volume 1. Okay, so just go to the table on your way out, grab it. It's yours. It's free. I tell you, people are being changed by these books. Here's what Bobby said in Atlanta. He said, Mark, once I started reading it, I just couldn't put it down. It was like pictures painted with words. The book spoke two things to me most powerfully. One, it helped me to know God on a more personal level. That's pretty important. And then it said, number two, that God is a living person who can and will speak to anyone who will listen. You've ever heard God's voice? Yeah, I mean, amen. Here we go. Here's from Cecilia in Weatherford. I wept continually as I read your book. I've come to understand that through the book that God really wants me to have a closer relationship with Him. Here we go. Sergeant Adams, I picked up one of your books from a trooper buddy of mine. I absolutely loved it. One of my two favorite stories was about the gangbanger whom you asked, do you know Jesus, while you interrogated him. I'm still laughing. Officer Sam, Buena Vista, Colorado. After I read your book for the first time, Mark, I was so touched that I bought 20 more to give to my unsaved friends. Praise God for this book. Karen, retired agent, Texas Alcoholic Beverage Control. Oh, and here we go. Mark, I loved your book so much, I could use 20,000 copies in Spanish right now. For the officers I minister to, Bob Chiazzo, Assembly of God missionary to the country of Nicaragua. We just translated this book to Spanish, and it's going to be released in the next couple of weeks. And it's going to Nicaragua. I need help getting a hold of him, though. I haven't been able to get a hold of him. Maybe you can help me with that. But anyway, y'all come get these books. I've got some things to say, but before I do, Safe journey. God bless you guys. Yeah. Lacey, would you stand? This is my wife of 31 years. She bore two children to me. She is amazing. She's my sweetheart. And thank you, baby, for all you do. I'm going to introduce you guys in a little bit. Okay. Hey, and by the way, these books are $10 each. 100% of the proceeds of these books go to help police officers and their families, other first responders, and to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? So anyway, make sure, if you're a first responder here today, you do have a free book. So make sure you go by the table and get that. Just mention that. Let me tell you real quick about a story. And I don't know if you guys experience this or not, but as police officers, you know, we tend to go where it's comfortable, it's friendly. Like when we're just like calling in reports and just kind of hanging out and stuff in between calls. And so there was a store called the Circle K on Meadowbrook Drive. Meadowbrook Drive, Eastern Hills High School. Anyone know where that? Eastern Hills, Meadowbrook. Yeah. And so anyway, so I'd stop there and, you know, they had a nice clean bathroom and the manager was always nice. He'd always tell jokes and we'd always talk a little bit and you know, always got a free Coke, you know, or a cup of coffee. And it was just good to hang out there, right? So anyway, it was officer friendly. So I went by there and one day I went in there and he goes, Sergeant Thorne. Or it was Officer Thorne at the time. He goes, come here. He goes, you got to see this. This is terrible. And I was like, oh, what happened? So he drags me to the back room. You know, y'all ever have that happen? They drag you to the back room. Come look at this. Watch this. So I watch this time delay video. And there's this guy comes in and he robs the clerk at gunpoint and then goes out to the door and takes off running. And as I'm watching the video, you know, this guy's got like weird hair, you know. It's like, and he had these long sideburns. I mean, really long, you know, these pork chop looking sideburns. And I thought, well, you know, that hair looks like Gumby. You know, that green humanoid. You remember that? And then those sideburns look like Elvis, you know, Gumby Elvis. So if I see Gumby Elvis again, I mean, I'll know him, you know. So anyway, so I told him, I said, hey, don't worry. We'll eventually catch him. It's going to happen. And I went on my way. Well, a few days goes by, and I'm driving down Beatty Street, the 5500 block of Beatty. It's right off of Lancaster. Anyone know where that's at? 5500 Lancaster. It's the next street back. There's a set of apartments back there. Well, there's multiple apartments and duplexes. And so anyway, as I turn down Beatty Street, I see two guys at the very end of the block. I mean, they're at the very end. I mean, I'm just pulling onto it. And I see both these two guys walk in the middle of the street, and one guy go, like that. And I went, that was Gumby Elvis. I could tell by his hair, man. I go, that's him. I kid you not. So anyway, so I just kind of, as I'm driving up, that other guy's just kind of standing there like, what happened there? You know, kind of walk. And next thing I just get my mic, and I go, I got one on the ground. 5500 Beatty. And so, dispatch, 10-4, back up and around, his car, so-and-so's coming, so-and-so's coming. And so I pulled up to that guy, I go, hey, I said, where'd your partner go? And he goes, oh, I don't know, I don't know that guy. And I said, well, no problem. Hey, let's take a quick second and pray for the firemen. Father God, in Jesus' name, bless these great firemen as they go on a call. Watch over them in Jesus' name. And so anyway, I'm like, talking to this guy, so I thought, well, you know, I gotta fake this guy out. So I pull his photograph out, and I go, hey, I'm looking for so-and-so. You see him? I go, that's so-and-so. He goes, I don't know him. He goes, well, what's the matter? So I got a blue warrant on. That's an old parole violation warrant. They call it blue warrants for the time. He goes, no, I don't know. I said, is that guy that ran off? Is that him? Is that him? And here he comes out of the bushes. Because he knew I wasn't looking for him. See, at least he thought. So he comes out and he goes, hey, what's going on? And I go, oh, God, I got a 36 after on view. And I'm thinking, where's the gun? You know, so I'm kind of looking to see coming up. I go, hey. So I go, hey, partner, you can leave. I said, I'm talking to my friend here. We're having a little conversation. He goes, this is America. I'll go anywhere I want. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm like, oh, God, he's right here. I can grab him. And I was like, So anyways, but I'm just waiting. Listen, I'm just waiting for them to get a little closer, right? You know, for my backup, because, you know, once they start running, you know, it's just crazy. And so, anyway, all of a sudden I hear these tires squalling around the next block over. And he's like, he knew he'd been duped. He knew it. So he starts running. I reach over and grabbed him. And the fight's on like Donkey Kong. I'm telling you, we're getting after it. And next thing I know, boy, he hit me in the face so hard that it rung my bell. And I don't know if you've ever been hit in the face that hard, but my lights were flickering. And that's a bad day. And I was like, oh, God, I'm hanging on to him. And I get it back. So now, pull my stick. Back then, it was a 26-inch black satin baton, wood. And now they carry batons and all kinds of better stuff. But this is way back. So I pulled, and I'm hitting them. We're going in a circle. And I hit him three times. Finally, he said, enough of that. He pulls out of his shirt. And he takes off running. And it's 105 in the shade. And we're running. Jumping fences, right? Running bushes. Running, running. Next thing you know, he takes his wallet out, throws it in the bush. I saw that. Running, running. Next thing you know, he hops the other fence. I jumped that fence, and I landed on my head. And it hurt really bad. I was like, oh, God, that kind of hurt. I get back up, and I'll go after him. Now he got a little bit of a lead on me. And there he is. There's this older woman getting in a car. He shoves her down on the ground, and he hops in her car. And that poor woman, I felt sorry for her. I'm running a little bit out of steam. You know what I mean? You ever been running? You're running out of steam? I'm like, oh, God. Whew, I'm out of steam. I got to keep going, though. Got to keep going. So I'm going after that guy. And the next thing you know, he realizes he can't get the car started. He goes, oh, man, I'm in trouble. Gets back out of the car. But now I'm all over him. I'm all over him. And he's out of steam, too. See, he's out of steam. So he comes around the corner. And when he does, there's another officer. 6-inch. Smith & Wesson. Pointed right at him. He goes, get on the ground. And the guy goes, jumped on his back, got him handcuffed, 36 actor in custody. Yeah, that's a good feeling, is it not? That is a good feeling. You just got an aggravated robber off the street sticking guns in people's faces. Oh, it felt good. It felt good. Anyway, he ended up doing 6 or 8 robberies that they pinned on him, probably done a whole lot more than that. Got 99 years in the state penitentiary. When I was in court, went down for the habitual count. They call it habitual. It's mandatory, 25 to 99. Mandatory. He got 99. In other words, you never getting out of jail. Never. I stood across him in the, who here's ever given testimony? It like a court or municipal court or, you know, I'm not trying to point out as criminal. I mean, okay, but you know, when you testify in court, you know, as officers back here, they testify in court all the time. You know, every time I testified in court, I always felt butterflies every time. Because what if they ask me that question? I don't know the answer to. Right? You know. So I'm testifying in court. Everything went good. He got 99. At the end of the trial, he looked at me and he went. And I went, you can go to New You-Know-Where. Okay, now, hang on, now bear with me. Now, I know y'all are a whole lot more holy and cleansed than I am. So anyway, had a lot of animosity in my heart towards this guy. But guess what? He's going to hell forever, and I don't care. Telling you how I felt. Thing went by. Next thing you know, I get a notice. 6 months later, this guy was suing me from prison. They gave him access to the law library, and he's handwriting his briefs. Sergeant Thorne, he beat me 26 times. 3. He beat me up. He stole my dignity. On and on and on. And after all of that, he got his day in court. 2 years later, they said, you're going to court. I meet my attorney. I go, this is a joke, right? He goes, huh? If he wins, your personal assets are in jeopardy. So let's go over this. Now I really hated this guy. Federal court. Anyone ever testified in federal court? Hey, that's pucker factor. Okay? So anyway, testified in federal court. And long story short, we win. Justice prevails again. Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. Justice prevails. And the guy in the courtroom did the very same thing. He went, I hate you worse now. And I'm like, I hope someone takes advantage of you and you get back to your little prison cell. I'm just telling you where I was. Listen, I was wronged. This guy should have went to prison and never got out. A few months goes by and I'm in church house. And here we go. Pastor Doug is out. Went on. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then the pastor rings a scripture. Yeah, he reads a scripture. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. Oh my God, the Holy Spirit is just like attacking me. And I'm thinking of Charles Edward Crockett, because I still remember his name. I'm like, oh, God, I got to forgive this guy. I wanted this guy to go to hell. God didn't want anyone to go to hell. He loves them. They made a lot of mistakes, but so have you. God, forgive me. Okay, so whoever here has forgiven someone left it at the altar, right? Well, sometimes, though, God goes, that ain't enough. You got to put a little work to that. So I write him a letter. I find out where he's at. He's at the state penitentiary in Lovelady, Texas. I write the letter. We were having a Bible study, Pastor Darris. It was on a Monday morning. And I said, guys, I'm about to send this letter to this guy. I hated him. Darius had the gall to read that scripture. And the Holy Ghost attacked me. So now I got to get it right. See, don't hide your sin. Expose and get rid of it. So you can prosper. Because, see, I was incarcerated. I had to do it for myself. Right now the Holy Spirit's talking to some of y'all who you need to forgive. But anyway, so I'm doing my, we laid our hands on that letter, and I said, hey, I hated you, especially because you sued me, but the Lord spoke to me, and so now I forgive you. Can you forgive me? And I sent it to him. A couple years goes by, but I'm set free. See, I'm set free. As soon as I sent that letter off, I'm free. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Things started going good. My wife started liking me again. It's good. All right. So, 2 years later, I get a Christmas card from Charles Edward Crockett from the state penitentiary, Lovelady, Texas. Because you forgave me, I started to realize that I had to forgive you. And you know that Jesus Christ came into my life? Praise God. Praise God. So I sent him back a letter and I said, well, praise God. Good luck with your life in penitentiary forever and ever. I mean, I didn't say that, but that's where an armed robber needs to be. Okay? So, anyway, so I'm hanging out with a bunch of these Kappa clergy. Hanging out. You know, I was always with these pastors all the time. We're lunchtime. We're doing the thing. And this one pastor had the audacity. He goes, you know, I feel like the Holy Spirit's bringing a scripture to my mind. Hang on, let me read it to you. Matthew 25:42. I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, you didn't give me any clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't come visit me. Are you kidding me? I mean, I felt the Holy Spirit. Go visit him. He's in prison. Ain't no one else going to. Question is can you be obedient to the Holy Spirit when he gives you an assignment? Some of y'all need to go back to the last thing God told you and go do it. Then things will start getting loosened up in your life again. Go back to the thing God told you to do, because everything else has been kind of on hold until you get obedient back to that. So I drive all the way to Lovelady, Texas, 3 hours in my Ford pick-em-up truck. And they search my vehicle. I go in there. I meet the guy. They bring him out. It's just like TV. He goes, "Thank you for telling me about Jesus." Had 30 minutes. We talked. He goes, "I know I did a lot of bad things, but God's forgiven me." He goes, "But the thing I grieve about every night is that my example as a father caused my son to come here as well. And he's in prison as well. Would you pray that God would help him and send him a man of God to mentor him in a way that he should be mentored instead of the scumbag I've been my whole life?" And I said, "I will. Let's pray now." And we pray. He's like, "I got one more request before you leave. I know you're about to go." He goes, "I'm supposed to spend 99 years here in this penitentiary. And I can't begin to tell you that I don't want to be here." He said, "Would you pray for me that I could get out?" And I thought, whoa. Okay, because see, I felt really good with him being there in prison, comfortable. I said, "Okay, I tell you what, I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me, if you'll make a vow to live for God and not go back to a life of crime, and if you do, that you will be erased from this earth immediately. If you will make that vow, I will pray for you." He goes, "I can do that, because I am never going back to that." Prayed for him. Left. 3 months later, I get a letter from Houston, Texas. They let me out. I'm with my mama. See, God's merciful. God's merciful. Praise God for that. Listen, my mom, at the age of 9, she says, "Son, I found Jesus at this church." See, God's everywhere, but that's where she found him. And at the time, my dad wasn't living for the Lord. But my mom knew I needed Jesus. And so I said, "Jesus, I want you in my life. I acknowledge you hung on a cross for me, yada, yada. You know how the whole thing goes. Forgive me, Lord, for my sins, for I've been a sinner. Come into my life, change my life." And I was expecting like pixie dust to fall on my head. Let me feel something. Nothing. So go to bed. Wake up in the morning, and for the first time in 9 years, I no longer went to bed. I find out that God's not only my Savior, he's my healer. As a policeman, I'm looking for evidence. That is evidence. It may not be a big thing to you, but it was to me. I'd like to introduce two people to you. Great couple. Mitchell's a great man of God. He's got him an awesome wife. Y'all give it up for police detective Mitchell Ellis and his wife, Kimmy.
Thanks, Mark. God's the ultimate first responder, isn't he? My name is Mitchell Ellis, and I'm a detective with Fort Worth PD. This is my wife, Kimmy Ellis. We've been married for, just celebrated our 5th anniversary the other day. So, man, God's given me an incredible woman. But today we just want to tell you guys our story, our testimony, just how Christ changed our life. And I'm going to let Kimmy start.
Good morning. Okay, so I'll just start by telling you that my family, we're Cambodian, and culturally we were Buddhist. So my family didn't know the Lord. The funny thing is, though, they escaped the killing fields of Cambodia because a church, a church in Odessa kind of sponsored them to America. So that was awesome. I first heard about Jesus on a school bus in the sixth grade with my friend Addis. We sat together every day, and her dad's a pastor, and she asked me, "Hey, my dad's telling me to invite my friends, so do you want to come to church with me?" I was like, "I'm not sure." She said, "Well, I hope you know Jesus is coming back soon. Do you know about the rapture?" I'm like, "No." She said, "Well, have you heard of H-E double hockey sticks?" And I was like, "Yes." I was like, "Is that where I'm going?" And she's like, "Well, I want you to come to church with me." She started telling me about the rapture, and she told me that if I did not go to church with her, it would just be me and the bus driver driving around the burning neighborhood. So I was so scared. I went home. I was like, "Mom, I need to go to church." And she was like, "No." So I told Addis, I was like, "I'm not going to church with you." She's like, "Okay, you'll be in hell." So that seed was planted. And I used relationships to cope with the missing hole in my heart. And then I met a man, he was Catholic, and he invited me to church on Easter, because he only went on Easter and Christmas. And so I was like, "Yes, I'm going to church." And when we got there, they were going to take the Eucharist, and I wanted to go too. And he was like, "Wait, no, you can't. You're not a member." I'm like, "Okay, but I want to be a member. I want to know Jesus." And I was like, "Tell me how." And he's like, "Well, I don't exactly know." I was like, "This is so weird. I'm in a church and I can't even meet Jesus here." So fast forward, that relationship ended, thankfully. I went on a ride along and met my future husband. A mutual friend introduced us, and he was so nervous because he had just found the Lord. And then when we began dating, he was like, "Okay, I'm going to ask her." He was so nervous, but he's like, "Do you think... that you'd want to come to church with me?" And I'm like, "What? Really? Okay. Like, when? Sunday?" And so I was so excited. 3 weeks later, I was saved, and life kind of got worse. What many of you don't know is my dad was a Dallas police officer, and he was killed in the line of duty when I was 4 years old. I remember the night where my dad's friends came to the house. The notification, when you have a police officer who dies, they come and let your family know. And I woke up in the middle of the night hearing my mom cry and scream. And it was a tough time. He was setting out flares on 75 and Meadow Road. When a guy who had just gotten out of jail the night before struck and killed him. Through his death, my family was able to hear the gospel for the first time, translated in Cambodian, so that was awesome. But it also caused a lot of pain in our marriage. Mark leads a Bible study on Wednesdays, and what we found out through his funeral is he went to a Bible study the Wednesday before he died. And I don't know about his salvation, you know, but I know our God's good and that he was pursuing my dad, just like he pursued me. And I don't know where many of you stand. I don't know where my dad stands, but, you know, I went through a period of just prayer and tears that, you know, I hope that I'll see him in heaven. And I think today would be a great opportunity to do that for not only you, but your family. If you're not sure where you are with Jesus, do that for your daughter, your mom, your brother, your sister. Basically, that's my story, so I'm going to turn it back over to him. Thank you.
have to rethink you going first next time because I'm fucking make it through this or not. Like I said, I'm a detective with Fort Worth PD. I work in the Crimes Against Children Unit. Started the department in 2010, and I was just a street cop for 4 years. So that's what I did, kind of working in some of the rougher parts of Fort Worth. And then I became, I got into a tactical unit. So I worked in the special response team. It used to be called Zero Tolerance. That's what Robert was talking about earlier. So really got to go out and have fun, chase bad guys, you know, car chases, all that good stuff. I mean, just got to have a really good time. And then, now I'm a detective. So, I never wanted to be a police officer, which is kind of weird to me that I'm a police officer. And like, I never wanted to be a police officer. My dad was a fireman, and I'd kind of told myself like, I don't want to do anything public service related. Like, I want to go business or, you know, be a pilot or be something cool. So I got to think about that one day. I mean, I never wanted this. So I don't get this. And, I started thinking that there was a lot of things in my life that I never wanted. And it just kind of went down this trail. I never wanted to be born into a broken home. The kind of home where your mom and dad go to church, on Sundays, but the rest of the week, you know, you don't hear anything about it. You know, they just kind of live their own life. I never wanted to be born into a home like that. I never wanted to be exposed to pornography whenever I was 10 years old. I never wanted my dad to give me steroids whenever I was 12 and starting to play sports so that I could be a better athlete. I never wanted to be a 13-year-old boy who was addicted to pornography and on steroids. I never wanted to get married right out of high school and then a few years later get a divorce because my wife at the time had multiple affairs. So there I was in this place, divorced, alone, just crawling in my sin. I had an affair with a woman while I was going through this divorce, and she was twice my age. She was married. She had a family, and it was like I had done the same thing to somebody else that hurt me so bad. I was like, how could I be this bad? How could I mean, I know how this feels. How could I do that? So I start to medicate with more relationships, more sin. You know, I'm just trying to sleep with more women to wash away what I had done. And I came to a place like Robert where I wanted to take my own life. I was so broken and so ashamed of my sin that, you know, I couldn't go on anymore. And the only option I thought was, you know, well, I just have to kill myself. And I went outside one night. I was living in Waxahachie, Texas, in my uncle's barn, because I didn't have anywhere to live. So he had this little apartment built in his barn. So I went outside one night and I started to have a conversation with God. And I remembered when I was 8 years old, I went to a church camp and I experienced Jesus for the first time. And I stood up and I gave him my life and I got baptized at 8 years old. But I lived the rest of my life, you know, like he didn't exist. And I remembered that. And for the first time in my adult life, I confessed that I was a sinner. I confessed that I had lived a life without God. And I said, God, I don't want to do what I want to do anymore. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to live a life for you. I want to serve you. I want to tell people about you. I want you to take this away from me. I don't want this life anymore because I'm not doing it. It's not working. So there was no pixie dust. There was no shooting star. There was nothing. But I can tell you beyond any reasonable doubt that from that moment forward, my life was never the same, ever. And I will never go back to the life that I lived before. So maybe you're in a place today where you've believed your whole life. You know, maybe you grew up in church and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you believe that he is who he says he is. The Bible says that even the demons believe. So what's the difference? What's the difference between, you know, demons don't get saved because they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And what happened to me that night, I submitted my will, not what I want to do, but what you want to do. You know, I trusted him. I put my faith. It was my heart, my mind, my soul. It was I believed with everything inside of me. So maybe you don't believe and you're here and this is your first time, or maybe you've believed your whole life, but you've never truly submitted your will to Christ. I believe that today is that day. Thank you guys so much for having us.
I give God praise for them. I have a couple of scriptures to read you. But before I do, did you know that unforgiveness will separate you from God and cause your prayers not to be heard? Did you know that? Did you know that unforgiveness is a poison that can destroy you from the inside out and destroy your marriage, your relationship with friends and family? Did you know that unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness can open the door spiritually to sickness and disease in your body? Who is God asking you to forgive? Psalm 53. Verse 2, God looks down from heaven on the entire human race. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if there's anyone here who seeks God. Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. I tell you, God's more near here than he'll ever be, probably. Right now, you're thinking about getting right with God, and you heard the testimony of Robert Rangel, and you heard the testimonies of Mitchell and Kimmy, and you know deep down that there's a separation between you and God. Maybe you've never yielded yourself to God. You know, you said the words, but it was more like an incantation. It was more like, you know, you didn't make the connection with God. Or maybe you did connect and you've allowed the lifestyle of the pagan life to come back into your life. And now you're living so far away from God, you don't even know where you are. Luke 14. There is a cost to following Jesus. People are being killed everywhere. My wife and I were buying, fixing, and flipping houses now, trying to make a couple extra bucks. And my wife calls me, she goes, you need to go down to the water department, get the water turned on over there. And I go, okay, well, I'll go down there. So I went down there, and I'm in line, and I see a guy two lines up. And he's got this Jesus shirt on, Jesus is Lord. And I went, that's nice, waiting in line. And then the Lord goes, tell him, thank you. So I reached around an Indian gentleman. I said, excuse me, sir. I said, sir, I just thank you for giving Jesus praise for wherever you go. Even if it's just with a T-shirt. Thank you for that. And he stood in line and he smiled. And a few minutes goes by and the Indian gentleman in front of me turns around and he goes, with a look on his face, he goes, look at this. There was a pastor being beaten in India for telling people about Jesus. And the fear in his eyes broke my heart. This is not something that was happening years ago. This is happening today. There's people whose babies are being smashed up against trees. They're losing limbs. Because I say, I'm going to make Jesus Christ Lord of my life. And here in this country with all this freedom, we're embarrassed because we might not get a promotion at work. We're scared to tell someone else about Jesus. So let me tell you something. There is a cost. Robert Rangel told me, he said, he ran from me. And I so wanted to be close to him. He didn't want nothing to do with me. I go to the weight room. I walk in and about to get me a workout. And I walk in, and they all, here comes the Bible thumper. Here he is. Look, guys, Mr. Bible thumper. Deep down, I didn't like that. Because I want to be one of the guys. You know. But one by one, over those 31 years, see, when they're in a wolf pack, they attack you. But one by one, they know they need Jesus. So there is a cost. So I'm not going to beg you to come down here to the altar and give your life to Jesus Christ. Because until you're ready, don't even think about it. 1 Corinthians 16:9. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now what Kimmy talked about, the rapture is real. Jesus is coming back. It could be right now. It could be tomorrow. It could be tonight. And only those who've made Jesus Christ Lord of their life have got a ticket. Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, worship idols, commit adultery, male prostitutes, those who practice homosexuality, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, abusive people, those who cheat other people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. But some of you were once like that. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed, you were made holy, you were made right with God by calling on the name of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of your God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So y'all look at me. Are you apart from God? Do you need to connect with God? Are you doing things you know you shouldn't be doing? Are you acting the way you know a Christian shouldn't be acting? What is your reputation on the job site? What is your reputation in the neighborhood? It's time to quit living double lives. Because God don't buy into that. Listen, just because you gave your life to Jesus Christ and you got your baptismal certificate of not to burn in hell, and then you go and you file that in your file cabinet and go live your life the way you want, it don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You got to go after God. Bow your heads just for a second. Anyone here say, Mark, I feel the Holy Spirit just speaking to my heart. I got to get right with God. I got to get right with God. You heard about repenting. You've got to repent. Repenting is turning away from your sin and turning to God. So if that's you and you're apart from God and you know you are, or maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you have and you've sort of drifted away, or maybe that connectivity was never made. If that's you, what I'd like you to do is just a sign to heaven. Put your hand up and immediately put it right back down. 1, 2, 3. Hands up. Hands going up. Hands going up. Put them back down. Put them right back down. Okay. Now, y'all look at me. Y'all look at me. This is what I found. If you secretly give your life to Christ, because no one knows you raised your hand. No one knows. But see, if you can't live your life for God today in front of all your church peeps right here, out in front, you won't be able to live it out there. You won't. So what I'm going to ask you to do is take one more step of faith. One more step of faith. If you know you need to get right with God, and especially if you raised your hand, I want you to come down here to the front and line up here. We're going to lay hands on you, and you're going to commit your life to Christ again, and God is going to take away that sin. He's going to make you right with him, and life is going to be great. And so if that's you, 1, 2, 3, stand up. Those who raise your hands, and come on down to the front. 1, 2, 3. Come on. 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 Let's get right with God. Let's get right with God. Jesus. Jesus. Get right with God. Come on, line up right here. Let's get right with God. Let's get right with God. Come on. Anybody else? Listen. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Is there anyone else here? I don't want any of y'all to go to hell. It's a bad place. But you got to turn your life around. Is there anyone else? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Now. Now. Come on. Come on. Come on down. Come on. Anybody else? Train's about to roll out. I know there's someone else out there. Five. Come on. Four. Three. Maybe today's not your day. It's okay. But great is the Lord and mighty is He. Pastor Doug, would you come up here with me? Mitchell and Kimmy, Lacey. Okay, y'all hold out your hands. You're going to receive from God, okay? You're going to receive from God. Listen, y'all, church, y'all give them a round of applause for coming down here. Listen, yeah, he who confesses his sin is wise, gets right with God. Okay, pray this prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, I confess that I am a sinner and I cannot save myself. I acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on a cross for me. I receive Him in my heart and in my life right now. Forgive me, God, for my sins. And turn me into a man and woman of God so I can change the world around me. Use me, God, to change my world. I receive you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Pastor Doug.